The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Well, welcome everybody to Living Axe Community Growth Group Night. I'm Zach Heron. I'm going to be speaking tonight. They asked me to do it kind of last minute, and that was fun because I love that line, love doing it on the fly. I think tonight it's a subject that I really enjoy. I'm talking about unity and discipleship, what that looks like, what that means. It's something that I think just there's so many pictures in our life that promote and explore unity. I think it's really cool that we can actually look at that tonight where it comes to discipleship. So before we get started, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go from there. Does that sound good? Lord, thank you for this group of believers. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your son. Thank you for giving us new life. Thank you for just being you. And I thank you that you love us so much. I thank you for each person in this room, the families they represent, the lives they represent. I pray tonight, Father, that you'd make my words clear, that you would open hearts, Lord, what you want to say. Holy Spirit, would you just make that evident? And as we go into our growth groups and we fellowship, Lord, just remember how much you love us, what it means to make disciples, what it means to invite people into your life, what that looks like. So it's in your name, Christ, that we pray. Amen. All right. It's a good looking group of people tonight. Yeah, represent. Yep. Anyway, well, I've been thinking a lot. We had some really interesting conversation last week as far as what discipleship looks like. We had some conversations about, you know, what does it look like uniquely to me? What does it look like as a body? And that's something we're going to talk about tonight. And for some of y'all that don't know, I'm a counselor here in Tyler, a licensed professional counselor. So I deal with this every day. I view my job more as a discipler than I do a counselor. In the sense, my job is to point people to Christ. My job is to, again, invite them into a life, into healing that only comes from God. And as we're doing this, now here's the question, I think, is as we're exploring what it means to be a disciple, what exactly does that mean? Because I think when we say that, there's a lot of connotation, there's a lot of things that come to mind. And last week, Kevin did a really good job of kind of just explaining that, kind of exploring, kind of like, we're followers, we're all that, but this week, as I was looking through it, something came across me that was really cool. And it's basically the idea, if you look at the original Greek, is matheus. And what it is a student. A disciple is a student. It's a pupil. It's a learner. It's somebody who's following a teacher. Now, here's something that I wanted y'all to think about as we're getting into this as far as what's unity. What are we inviting people into? What are we inviting them into? Because I think that's so important, because it's more than just, so if we think about student, our culture is very much the Greco-Roman, where we think about, you know, the knowledge, we think about, studies, we think about all that. We're very much into that. But when Christ came and in that culture, it was completely different. When you were under a teacher, you were under his life. He was showing you, he says, here's what life looks like. Here's what I'm inviting you into. And as we're going through this, this is what I want y'all to think about as we're talking about with our growth groups tonight. What are we inviting people into? It's not just us making disciples. It's not us making proselytes. It's not us redoing whatever we think the gospel is, saying it correctly, doing it right. But it's more than that. It's inviting them into life. And the word there is Zoe. And Zoe is something far more than just a study of bios. It's a study. It's God himself. And when we're thinking about that, we're inviting people into the very life of Christ. And we're inviting Christ into their life. And that's so important, because when we're on mission, we need to know what it is we're fighting for, who we're fighting with, who we're fighting against. And we also need to know what our source is. And so I think as we're going through that, looking at the unity of the discipleship, it's really cool to see that. So one of the pictures I guess I want you guys to think about is there's this old, I don't know, anybody seen the movie 300? that's kind of a weird, I know it's a weird movie, probably like, all right, Zach, why are you talking about this in church and that kind of stuff? It's kind of like one of those man's movies, like, oh, you know, there's some scenes that you could probably leave out, that kind of stuff. But there's an idea in that movie that if I could paint a picture for you guys, this is what I want you to think about in unity. Is there's this idea that it was a model of fighting that was called the phalanx. And the phalanx was something that was really interesting because it was something that the Greeks developed. And what they would do is there would be a stack of six guys, and they'd be, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 long. And what they'd do is they'd link shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, and they put their shields in front of each other. And so they'd lock shields. And what they would do is that group behind them then would push forward. And so you had six rows of shields. And if you saw the movie, which is really cool, it's probably not a good representation of what it really was, but you get the idea. What they're doing is they're pushing forward. They're making progress. They're moving forward. And one of the most important things that they had was their shield. And they said that there is actually, if you left the battle zone without your shield, especially as a Spartan, what that movie was about, you could be executed because it was that important. And so I think as you guys are thinking about that, what's our mission? What are we inviting people into? But more so, who are you fighting next to? What are we doing? As we're pressing forward, what are we doing? And the people behind us, what are they representing? And in their mind, these men, they were not only fighting for the guy next to them, they're fighting for the guys behind them. They're fighting for their family. They're fighting for the guys' families behind them. They had this huge idea of this huge mission. And so I think it's so important as we're thinking about this that there's more to this than what we see. I think a lot of times we lose sight of that, and we just kind of go through the motions, and I'm guilty of that too, and it's kind of like I just love life. My personality type, it's like the Groundhog Day. It's the same thing over and over and over every day. And a lot of times the reason is I lose sight of passion. I lose sight of life. I lose sight of that I'm a student of Zoe, that I'm a disciple. I'm learning life from Christ. And as we encourage each other, as we build each other up, as we point each other to Him, as we lock shoulder to shoulder, as we move forward in unity, there's nothing that the kingdom of God cannot overcome. And not only that, here's the cool part about that, is the source of Christ within you, there's nothing that He hadn't overcome in your life. And so as we're thinking about that and we're inviting people into it, something worth sharing. It's more than just, again, a teaching. It's a person. It's life. So that being said, I want to give you all another picture too. A lot of times I feel like as believers, and this is why I think this is so important in our mission, is that a lot of times as a believer, I feel like what I find people get in trouble with a lot of times, especially in my realm, is if somebody comes in with really bad depression, most of the time the number one thing they're doing is they're living in isolation. And if somebody comes in, and you guys see this in your own personal journey and your own struggle, is that when you're focused on sin in your life, when you're focused on flesh, when you're doing things your way, you are isolated. You're off in your own little world. You're doing things apart from everybody else, and you're not a part of community. You're not part of something bigger than yourself. And there's a couple of pictures that I want you all to think about this. So there's a guy, his name is Aaron Ralston. Do you guys remember that guy? Back in 2005, Aaron Ralston went out. There's actually a movie called 127 Hours after him. And he went out into the Utah desert, and he's out there climbing around on rocks and stuff like that, and a big 800-pound boulder comes down and crushes his arm. Now, the story is this. The guy is out there for 127 hours, and he ends up cutting his arm off to survive. Now, the number one question, if any of y'all are outdoorsmen or anything like that, is number one question is, why was he alone? If you're out there doing something like that, you never go alone. Right? And even the picture that Christ said when he sent out the 77 disciples, he's like, you're going two by two. You're not doing this alone. You need somebody to cover your back. You need somebody fighting along with you. And so what ended up happening, it's weird that this culture, we made this guy kind of a hero because he chopped his arm off and here he is. But it's like everything and anybody that you talk to has anything to do with outdoor stuff. They said, don't go alone. Don't do it alone. Now, here's another picture. And you guys probably haven't heard of this lady, but her name is Emily Davis Mobley. And back in 1992, Emily Davis Mobley, she was basically National Geographic was doing this exploration of Carlsbad Caverns. It's kind of caverns next to it in New Mexico. She's 2 miles down under the surface, and the same thing, a rock falls down and breaks her leg. Now, she's spelunking, and she's down there. But here's the difference between her and Aaron Ralston. She had a group of people with her. And she had it, they said it took 72 hours to get her out. And they all united together. And they all came, and they said there were some crevices that were 190 feet deep that they had to somehow get her across, somehow do that. And for me, I want y'all to think about that. The difference is, as a picture of the body, how much is that? And here's what I love about this community, for y'all who are visiting or who are just getting started, is that I've seen this community more than any navigate 100-foot crevices. I've seen this community surround each other when there's tough times, when there's difficult times. There's things in life that we didn't know that we were necessarily going to face, and here's this community surrounding. And the picture I think for y'all to think about is that it's like that Emily Ralston. We have people that are there fighting with us, fighting for us. We have this mission that we're on. And it's not only to invite people to, again, know the gospel as far as just the knowledge of Christ, but we're inviting them into a life. And that's what this body, I really believe, does really well, is we are a representation of that life. And so here's the prayer so the number one point for you guys to think about, the unity of the church is a picture of the gospel to the world. The unity of the church, our unity as a body, is a picture of the life, is a picture of the gospel to the world. Now here's something that in John 17, it's the great high priestly prayer. So Jesus is, it's at the end of his life. He knows that the cross is coming. He knows what's coming on. And this is the prayer he prays. It's a small part of it, but here's what he prays. He says in John 17, 20 through 21, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. His prayer is that they be one. His last thing he's saying, now here's the reason why, is that in Genesis 1:27 it says that God made us in his image. And the image of God is a picture, a perfect picture of unity. Three but one. And there's no division, and it's him. And that's something, again, like, I mean, going through seminary, like even then, you cannot wrap your mind around what that means. But even crazier, you can't wrap around your mind the idea of he created us in his image. And for me, I believe that he made us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he made us body, soul, spirit. So the outward part of us is our body. The middle part, like kind of like if you had a circle, outward is body, middle part is soul, and inner part of us is spirit. And so what happens is that we're three, but we're one. We're created in the image of God. And the good news of the gospel was this, and we can get into this later, another talk, I'm sure, is that we're separated from God in our spirit. But because of Christ's work on the cross, because of what he did through life, he put his spirit into us, and we're reunited in him in the spirit. And so this is what Jesus is saying in this high priestly prayer, is he says this, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me. So he's saying, God's in me, I in you, that they may be in us. So again, it's kind of, if you think about this encapsulation, that they're in us and I'm in them, so that the world may believe. If we know who we are, and if we know whose we are, there's nothing that will stop us. And that sounds weird, but again, if you know that you are a child of the King, that you are loved, that you are cherished, that you are enjoyed, that you are taking pleasure in, there's nothing that will stop us. And it's not that we're, again, trying to, again, make more proselytes and share this way of doing things. No, it's inviting people into a way of life. It's inviting them into Christ's life and inviting Christ's life into them, so that they may be restored, that they may be renewed, that they may be, again, a new creation in Christ. And I want to paint that picture for you guys, and this is the unity. This is the things that we're pushing each other on. There's a guy named Josh Moody. He says this. He says, we in the conservative Christian circles have vigorously maintained the message of the gospel, but at least in some areas and among some movements have begun to lose the profound grasp of the community of Christ. We have rightly said that a relationship with God is a personal matter. In our context, though, it has become but a step, and a step many of us have unthinkingly taken to acquiesce that a relationship with God is purely an individual matter. This practice is heterodoxy. Jesus said, you can identify his disciples by the kind of relationships they have with one another, by the love they have for one another. And so again, like I said, what Christ's saying, the love that the Father has in unity is the love that he's put in us and the love he's showing through us. The love that you have for each other, because I know that I'm loved, because of who I am and whose I am, I know that I'm loved and I can then love. So the second part, and we'll go through this, is we must encourage each other to hold one another accountable for the obedience to the Great Commission. And so what that means, and I think there's a lot of times in Christian circles, there's this idea of what accountability means. And it's most of the time, and Austin and I have talked about this, most of the time we come and we're like, okay, brothers, this is how I've screwed up this week. This is how I've sinned. This is what I've done wrong. This is, and more and more and more, before you know it, by the end of it, I tell people, you end up doing worse things that week than you did the week before. And the reason is, I tell you, what gets your attention gets you. What gets your focus gets you. If I come and I'm sitting that time spending my time focusing on sin, guess what I'm going to walk away doing? Sinning, right? And so a lot of times I feel like, and as the body, encouraging even other believers is like, hey, yeah, we're making too much of sin and too little of Christ. We need to make more of Jesus, because when he gets our attention, then the sin falls away. And so that's the purpose, and like I said, to encourage each other that we need to be accountable for obedience to the Great Commission. We're inviting people into a life. We're inviting people into Christ's life. And it's not, again, it's not accountability in the sense that, hey, you screwed up and you did wrong. But no, we're pointing them to him. And as believers and as this body, how are we pointing each other to Christ? How are we inviting Christ into that situation? How are we, again, allowing him to come in and invade our life, invade our space? That's something to me that's very, very profound in the sense of the way that works. And what gets our attention gets us. What do we spend our time focusing on? What are we spending our time consuming our minds? And that's the idea of worship. It's giving attention to, it's giving focus to something. What are we worshiping? And as accountability, part of the Great Commission is that we're pushing each other to Jesus. And the idea of us shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, we're pushing each other to Christ. And we're saying, look who you are, look whose you are. And we're moving you forward in that way. And here's the thing, we're bringing other people along beside us. Look who we are, look whose we are. And we're bringing them alongside and we're inviting them into this life. To me, it's an awesome picture. So part of it too, so like I said, accountability in my mind, yes, it's coming and we need to confess and all that. But to me, what we need to confess is, I always tell people, the lesser gives way to the greater. The lesser is the sin, the greater is Jesus. We need to be pointing to and pushing each other to him. And again, discipleship, and that's something I want to encourage you guys, you are thinking about this. What does that life look like? What does that life of freedom from that look like? What does it mean to live free from that? And again, pointing to him. The last point I want to, this is kind of one of my passions, and some of the growth group leaders know this, but there's something that I think came up in our talk last week is, well, what does discipleship look like for me? And I think a lot of times we have this idea, and a lot of times in church we're probably guilty of, okay, if you want to make a disciple, this is how you do it, A, B, and C. And if you've done A, B, and C, then that means you've done what you need to do to make a disciple. And if you didn't do it, then, well, you know, that's their problem, not yours. Now, here's the difference, and I want you to see this. So the last verse we're going to look at is Romans 12, 3 through 8, and y'all are going to go through this in your small group. But Romans 12, 3 through 8, and we'll look at Ephesians 4, too. Romans 12, 3 through 8 says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we are many, many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and yet individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service is in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so here's the picture I want y'all to think is that there's also unity in diversity. And so discipleship is expressed diversely in agreement with the gifts and personalities that God has given his church. Your Jesus, now this sounds weird, your Jesus is different than my Jesus. Your gospel is different than my gospel. And what I mean by that is this: your expression and your experience of God is so uniquely yours and so uniquely what He has given to you, that it is a unique expression of Him on this earth. Now, here's the cool part about that is this. Hebrews 13 says, but this, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So your experience of Christ is different than me. Your expression of Christ is different than me. But what Romans 12 says is this: we're united as a body, and that the many cells, the many members, make the one. And when the church and when the world looks at us, they see the body of Christ, and they see, if you think about it this way, a prism. Each one of you is uniquely reflecting the light of Christ through you. His life in you is shining to the world, is showing the world, again, this is what Jesus looks like. And like I said, a lot of times we lose sight of that. We forget who we are and whose we are. And so one of the things I'm really passionate about is personality. And personality is really important because I need to understand where I fit and how I fit and what makes me and what makes me tick. I mean, all that kind of stuff. It's so important because if you go and you tell a thinker personality, which is the introvert, which is the person that doesn't like crowds, that doesn't like people and all that kind of stuff, to go door to door and disciple people, guess what they're going to do? They're going to have a panic attack. They're going to freak out, and you'd be like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about, right? Now, if you tell a feeler or a doer, who are the extroverts, to go door to door, they love that. They're like, yeah, that's great, let's go, we got this mission, we're going to get it done, all that kind of stuff. And it's so important to understand the difference between that. But here's the thing. You get a doer, and you say, okay, well, here's the thing. You need to do some one-on-one, and you need to follow up with these people. He says, well, I can't. I don't have time for that. I got to get on the next thing. I got to go. I got to finish. I got to accomplish. I got to get on and on and on and on, right? And you guys have experienced those people, and you know those people. And it doesn't mean that's a bad thing, but here's the thing. That's who they are and who Christ is in them, uniquely. And what he's saying is this is what I love about the unity of the body, is we don't have to. This is where I think the world is we try to fit you into a mold. And what Christ is and who then the gospel is no, we don't try to fit you into a mold, but we let you be free and uniquely you. Who God made you to be and the expression of Him through you. And to me, that is worth inviting somebody into. If I can understand that, again, I don't have to be like that person or that person to understand, I don't have to do things the way you do and all that kind of stuff, it allows me to be free to be me. And that's so exciting because who doesn't want to be free to be them? There's so many things our culture offers that promises that, but again, they all fall short. And so as you guys are going through this and thinking about discipleship, it's not going to be the way I do it. It's not going to be the way Kevin does it or Kyle does it or Austin does it. It's not going to be the way any of the elders do it, Patrick or anybody else like that. It's going to be the way you do it. And God so uniquely puts you in a place, whether it's your work, whether it's your family, whether it's whatever it is, that He's put you in a special place that you're the best possible way for those people to know Him. And it doesn't matter if you're doing a secular or a spiritual or whatever it is, God's working in you, through you, as you. And that's something worth inviting people into. That as unity, as a body of believers, we're pushing each other, we're coming together, and we're saying, look how great our God is. And here's the thing, He loves us so much that He frees us to be us. He frees us to be me, and in that, I can celebrate my brother. I can celebrate my sister. I can celebrate the fact that He's taken away all those bonds. He's taken away all those differences. And He's united us as one in His Son and in His life, in His Zoe. And that's so important as we're going through this. What are we inviting people into? What is discipleship? It's not us, okay, you got to jump through all these hoops. We got to do all these things. That's any other religion. It's real interesting. And I had a Muslim come into my office one time. And she's sitting there. And I was like, I'm really curious. I'm like, just tell me what you guys learn like on a day-to-day basis and that kind of thing. And as she's sitting there, she said, okay, well, you got to read the Quran. You got to pray 5 times a day. You got to, you know, face Mecca. You got to do all this kind of stuff. She started going on and the list just grew and grew and grew. And here's what I told her. I said, this is interesting because you just said probably something that would preach in every church today. You have to do. You have to do. You have to do. Right? And we hear that. And the difference, I think, in our church is, no, we're inviting you into a gospel, into a life. And the difference is this. It's not about rules. It's not about do. It's not about do. But it's, again, it's about a who. It's about who you are in Christ. And as I know who I am, it frees me to express Him. It frees me to, again, then He says, and my commandments are not burdensome. If I know who I am and I know how much God loves me, and that's what He says, the mark of a disciple, we will know and they will know us and our God by how much we love each other and how much we know how much we're loved. And so that's the difference. And I want to encourage y'all, as you're talking tonight with your growth group, think about that. Pointing each other to Christ, how much I'm loved, uniquely me. What does it look like that for me to disciple somebody? And it's not for me to, again, for me to say, okay, well, this is what we got to do. You got to jump through hoops. No, I'm inviting them into Zoe. I'm inviting them into life. I'm sharing life with them. I'm helping them see this is something that's bigger than us, that we're fighting shoulder to shoulder, that we have this phalanx mindset, that we're, again, we're pushing towards the gospel. We're pushing toward the good news of who we are in Christ. We're pushing people to what the Holy Spirit has done us, how He's renewed us, how He's made us new creations. And I said before, and I guess if some of you are on the sermon, the Christian life is not becoming something you're not. It's accepting who you are, were from the beginning. Understand that you accepted Christ, and now the expansion of sanctification is accepting who you were from the beginning because of Christ in you. So anyway, that's kind of my spiel on that. As far as for you guys, I want to paint that picture is that you need each other. Not only that, you need to be free to be you. And in that, you encourage the others, and you, as you accept that love for yourself, you begin to love others. As you begin to like yourself, that sounds weird, you begin to like others. As you begin to see how God enjoys you, you begin to enjoy others. And the love of Christ, there's nothing that can overcome it. There's nothing that will separate us from it. Anyway, that's all I have. So again, unity of discipleship. What are we fighting for? What are we going for? What are we pushing for? That picture that we're shoulder to shoulder, that we're, again, we're inviting them to something bigger. We're inviting them to life. We're inviting them to freedom. We're inviting them to uniqueness in who they are. So let me pray for you guys, and then we'll go meet with our groups. Lord, thank you for the picture that you have in yourself, Lord, of unity. There's no division. There's no disagreement. There's no difference. But, Lord, you're one, and that's held together by love. That's held together by your glory. And, Father, thank you for inviting us into that life. Thank you for giving us that. Thank you for this group of believers that you have called them to something greater, that, Lord, you have brought them in the kingdom. You have purchased them with your blood. Lord, that you've put their life in, that you've freed them to be uniquely them. I pray in our groups, Lord, that we would enjoy each other for who we are, that we'd encourage each other uniquely in discipleship. Lord, what that looks like, the people you've put in our lives, the circumstances, the situations, Lord, you have designed it. You are the great designer and creator. You know exactly where each heart is tonight, Lord. I do ask for freedom. I ask for, Lord, just that expression, experience of you in a unique and fresh way tonight. So it's in your name, Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Axe Church, please visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.